Great cash, homie, man. I grew up on that.
If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Sir, how would you like to pay for this?
What? Straight cash, homie.
You rich, you don't write checks. You know what I'm saying? And that's straight cash, homie.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, alongside my boy Alan Flores, and welcome back for week 16 of the 2019 NFL Straight Cash Podcast, and I should say, hey, welcome to the Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays podcast, my friends, because yes, indeed, it is that time of year. Happy Holidays to all. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever the fuck you celebrate, let's celebrate it right here on the Straight Cash Podcast as we are narrowing down to our final two games of the week. So I know we just had Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago. We talked about what we're thankful for. Well, hey, let's go ahead and talk about some surprises, some presents under the tree this year in Bay Area football. Well, it was some rocks in our socks this weekend. We got Cole here in the Bay Area as the Raiders and the 49ers both got losses. But hey, we'll see if they could bounce back next week in this Christmas special. The Raiders will be taking on the Chargers and the San Francisco 49ers will be hosting the Rams. But before we get into our Bay Area breakdown and talk about the embarrassment that was the Oakland Raiders and the farewell funeral this past weekend, we got to go back and talk about our winnings because the Raiders lost, the 49ers lost. So hey, at least we still came in with a winning record like we always do right here on the Straight Cash Podcast. Another week of winners in the books. In week 15, I went 9-6-1 against the spread and gave you another week of double digits winners on the money line. Went 10-6 to bring my season totals up now to 125-96-6 against the spread and 148-77 on the money line. Al, I'm damn near getting to 150 territory.
This guy is on fire, people. If you guys ain't listening to Money Mark money line, then you guys are fucking morons. But you know what, as far as the Marcus money line, let's go with the Allen spread. And you know what, Marcus, you got me this week. You got me by one fucking game, and I went 8-7. But wait a minute, it's 8-7. What about the other game? Oh, that's right, it was a fucking push again. Let's go with Alan Flores with another push. And with all that record, that brings me to 119-101-6. And you know what, there goes my fucking goals that I said last week to keep in my record under 100 losses. I got 101 losses. But you know what? Fuck it. I got a 500, and that's all that matters to me.
Hey, it doesn't matter. You might have 101 losses, but you got over 100 wins as well.
Let's
we are
go.
Over the 50% mark all season long. We've mentioned it. We got better records than Bleacher Report, better records than Pro Football Focus, better records than your dad betting on the weekend. We got better records than fucking everybody out here. So stick with us all year long. As like I said, we're down to the final 2 weeks of the season. So let's go ahead and hop into this Bay Area breakdown. And of course, I got to start off with my Oakland Raiders and the disappointing, tragic final farewell at the Coliseum. Now,
get him, Mark.
You guys know my stance on this whole game to begin with. Last week, I went on a little rant. I said it made no fucking sense at all that the Raiders were playing their last game of the season as the Oakland Raiders against the fucking Jaguars in the middle of the day in week fucking 15. Like, oh, there's no more Oakland Raiders. They just played their last game in Oakland. Like, bitch, there's still two more fucking games coming up at the end of the season. It's fucking terrible. And surprise, surprise, the Raiders did exactly what everybody thought the Raiders would do, and that's let their fans down one last time. That's why everybody's saying, hey, it's the farewell tour, it's blah, blah, blah. I went to the farewell tour last year, 2018. I saw them beat the Steelers. I saw them beat the Broncos, Sunday Night Football. You could not recreate that environment. Now everybody's like, oh, look, it's the farewell game. No, this was the farewell funeral, and Mark Davis, John Gruden, Derek Carr, and the whole Raiders team were the ring bearers, lowering us down into their funerals, letting us down one last time, giving a final fuck you to Oakland as the Raiders lost to the Jaguars 20-16. They blew a fucking 16-3 lead in the final game in Oakland. How the fuck does this happen? I don't know if I should blame the offense. I don't know if I should blame the defense. I don't know if I should blame
blame Gruden. I don't know if I should blame fucking everybody. I'm just going to blame myself for still being a Raider fan at this point because it was a fucking absolutely despicable performance. Derek Carr gets booed off the field. I mean, you want to talk about polar opposites. Last year, final game of the season, Derek Carr, John Gruden running around after beating the Broncos, giving the black hole love, blah, blah, blah. This game, the black hole was throwing nachos and beer on the field, booing him off the field.
Getting arrested.
Guys diving on the field. I mean, it was an ugly fucking scene in Oakland this Sunday. And honestly, it was ugly the last 4 or 5 minutes of this game because the Raiders, like I said, blew a 16-3 lead. They should have won this game. Even regardless of how bad the defense played, regardless of how lackluster this offense looked in the second half, because first half they came out, they looked like they were going to blow the fucking doors off the Jaguars. But no, final drive of the game for the Raiders, driving down the field, about 2.5 minutes left on the game. Derek Carr rushes for a first down, slides inbounds, let me point out, throws up the O sign, repping for Oakland. You think the Raiders about to win, take a knee, blah, blah, blah. But no, these fucking refs said that he slid out of bounds with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left. I don't know how you give yourself up in bounds, but then all of a sudden he slides 5 yards on the ground, so they called him out of bounds. They stopped the clock with 2:05, which means the Raiders had the run plays, 2-minute warning, stops the clock. They get a field goal opportunity. Dan Carlson fucking misses. Oh, wait, no, fucking penalty. Let's give him another chance. No, he misses a fucking game. So it's now 16-13, about 1.5 minutes left in the game. And yeah. Who cares about the refs and the sliding call? Yeah, they could have won the game there, could have ran out the clock, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that this defense allowed a 7-play, 65-yard touchdown drive in less than 1:15 against Gardner fucking Minshew? I mean, the porn star came in Oakland and gave one last fuck fest to the fans to get him the fuck out of here. He got the W, and then you want to talk about even embarrassing? The Raiders' final play of the game, Al. They throw up a fucking Hail Mary. Derek Carr launches it. It hits the dude in the fucking face. It bounces off Keelan Doss' fucking face mask. I mean, he could have caught the fucking ball. It was absolutely despicable. It was a terrible performance. And that's why I protested this whole fucking season. We got cucked. Raider fans got cucked by the NFL. They said, oh, you're leaving to Vegas. But let's just leave you here for one more year. I said the fucking analogy last week. It's like if your ex-girlfriend would say, hey, I'm going to leave you for a better, richer man. And next year, I just don't have it set up yet, so I'm going to live with you for one. No, bitch, get out of here. You can go live on the streets. Raiders should have been playing on the road every single game this year. They should have been the road Raiders, just playing on the road the whole entire season. The Oakland fucking final game, it was a fucking catastrophe. And surprise, surprise, the Raiders lost to let me down one last time, Al.
The only thing that I want to say about that last drive is I feel like you guys would have had a better chance if y'all fucking made the field goal. But I think because of the fact that you guys were damn near setting up the Jaguars at halfway through the field already, I think that made a big difference. I think it would have been so much more if he would have made that field goal, been up by 6, kicked the fucking ball to, like, what, touchback 25 yards or something, and then maybe that would have made sense. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can't really say nothing good about that defense on that last drive. Minshew just went straight into the fucking – he just went straight in on the Raiders and – honestly, I was disappointed in the whole game because I bet the first half of it being fucking over. And it, like Marcus said, it was looking real good in the beginning. I was thinking the Raiders were going to cover that themselves because they just could not stop fucking Waller. That guy was just balling all game. But then the second half comes, and even not even before the second half, all of a sudden both of the teams shit the bed offensively, so that was a disappointment. But you know what? I took the Jaguars upset and spread, so I can't be that mad. But at the same time, I'm like, Jesus Christ, Raiders, did y'all really just blow this fucking game when you guys were up 16-3? I mean, Jesus Christ.
16-3, last game in Oakland, Al. I mean, fucking, man, I don't even want to talk about this shit anymore. It's so fucking depressing. The Raiders are leaving Oakland.
And then you said it was expensive as fuck for tickets?
Jesus Christ, yeah. People are wasting fucking damn near $1,000 to go sit up on fucking Mount Davis. Yeah, I'm fucking glad I was out in Reno, Nevada. The Raiders are moving to Nevada. I got the head start on them. I was already watching this game from Nevada this weekend. So, yeah, I'll be watching a lot of games in Nevada next year because the Raiders played their final game in Oakland. But I got some news for you, folks. They still got one more home game. Yes, they will be playing their final home game of the season. I don't care what you want to call it. It's a home game down in L.A., baby. The Raiders will be taking on the Chargers. The Chargers got blown out by the Vikings last week, 39-10. I told you the Vikings were going to kill them, and it was only a 2.5 spread. That was probably one of the easiest bets of the week. While the Raiders now will be getting +7 in L.A. down at that soccer stadium. Now, of course, this is the rematch of Week 10 when the Raiders won 26-24 on Thursday Night Football. We already saw Phillip Rivers and his little Dutch dude huge interception left and right, through three interceptions at Eric Harris. So, yeah, the Raiders defense is going to have to cause some turnovers this week because, honestly, this Chargers offense has the weapons to put up points, especially on this fucking Raiders defense. But I think this Raiders offense is going to be able to put up points against this Chargers defense. Now, this Raiders offense should be a little limited. Josh Jacobs is out, so he will not be playing. DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard should get a lot of touches. But they might have a little trouble running because Trent Brown, our right tackle, is also out. So he got placed on IR as well. So, yeah, things are not looking great for the Raiders. Josh Jacobs, our best offensive weapon, easily in line for Rookie of the Year. And Trent Brown, probably our best offensive lineman. And we saw the contract he got this past offseason. That proves it. But, yeah, this Raiders offense, honestly, I don't even know what to expect. With Gruden and Carr, we talked about it in this playbook. But, honestly, getting plus 7 points in a division game, the Raider fans for sure are going to take over that L.A. little soccer stadium. Yeah, Phillip Rivers, I can't trust him to win by more than a touchdown. The Chargers could win, but honestly, the Raiders got to bounce back. They got to nut up. Derek Carr was pissed off. He got booed off the field. He wanted to go out on top. I mean, I'm still up in the air with DC. I have no idea if he's going to be our quarterback going to Vegas or not. Well, he's got two games to prove something now, and I think the best way to do it is to beat two division opponents. Beat the Chargers, beat the Broncos, and he should be looking pretty decent heading into Vegas, Al.
I mean, I got to say, if only this game was the last game in Oakland, huh?
Divisional it should
game,
be the last fucking game in Oakland.
This should have been the last game
in
Oakland.
It makes no fucking sense. The Chargers and the Broncos are the last two fucking matchups, and they're both on the fucking road.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up. But then again, you said it. It's going to be a home game in L.A. You're going to see nothing but black and silver because there is no fucking fans in L.A., and like there was no fans in San Diego. But as far as this game goes, I think I'm going to have to take the Raiders in the points, and right now I do not know who the fuck's going to win this game. I mean, I said even with the Chargers last week, that fucking game they blew the fucking – who was it that they blew out the 2 weeks ago? Whoever the fuck it was, 45-10, I told you that was going to be a fucking fluke because they ended up losing way worse than that. So I think the Raiders could pull this off, and I definitely do think that they cover that spread because I don't think that the Chargers can win by a touchdown because you know what? Marcus already said it. They got the weapons. I think it's Phillip Rivers now. Mm-hmm. I think Rivers is definitely digressed. I think it's about that time where he needs to start getting that Eli Manning treatment. He might have to get benched, try out another fucking rookie quarterback because you know what? At this point, what are they playing for? I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, so they might as well just see what they got, see what they can pull off in the future, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to cover that spread. And yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to have to take the Raiders, you know, based off of this being in L.A., that's where the real fucking home was. I mean, yeah, it's been in Oakland, but they've been in L.A. more than Oakland. I think that there's going to be so many more fans. There's going to be so much more fucking motivation. And again, it's a divisional game.
Yeah, the Raiders having their last home game in L.A. as the Oakland Raiders, as I say, I think you got to take them plus the points as the bet to make, but I honestly think they can get the upset victory. Like you said, the Chargers are out of playoff contention while the Raiders still have a shot. They still have a chance. If you're telling me the Steelers are going to lose out, the Bills are going to lose out, the Titans are going to lose out, and the Raiders are going to win out, they still got a chance.
It's all
gravy. It might
be
1%. It might be 2%. But you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance,
baby. You're saying there's a chance, and we're taking that chance on the Raiders this weekend. We'll take them plus 7, and I like the upset victory as well. Derek Carr has got to nut up and got to get a big victory over the Chargers this weekend to put the Raiders in position in their 1% chance to make the playoffs. But let's go ahead and talk about the other Bay Area team who should be making the playoffs, but they also blew a fourth quarter lead this week. We had the Raiders blow a 16-3 lead, and we had the 49ers blow a 19-10 lead. And yes, the 49ers somehow, some way, lost to the Atlanta Falcons 29-22. And Alan, where do we start here? It's the fucking Falcons. We don't know what the fuck to do with them. But the San Francisco 49ers losing them to them was a straight-up head-scratcher. Now, we talked about it last week. Obviously, we went back and forth with the Sherman not playing, Sherman if he's going to make an impact or not. I said if Sherman was going to be out, Julio Jones was going to go off. And that's exactly what the fuck he did. This 49ers defense could not stop Julio Jones, especially in that fourth quarter. Julio Jones had 13 catches, 134 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You want to talk about that game winner, cross the plane? I mean, shit, I thought the Falcons had 2 game winners back-to-back. I thought that tight end caught the ball off his foot, but that's a whole nother story. This 49ers offense, yeah, put up 22 points, which is decent. I mean, Garoppolo went 22 for 34, 200 yards, did have 1 touchdown, but honestly, he was just relying on George Kittle the whole entire day. I mean, look at Kittle's number. He had 13 catches for 134 yards. I'm not great at math, but that means there's only like 66 other yards to other wide receivers not named George Kittle.
Oh, gee, how fucking typical.
I mean, get this. No other wide receiver had more than 2 catches than George Kittle. Now, I don't know if that's something with the play calling or something that the Falcons did, taking away the wide receivers on the outside, or if Jimmy Garoppolo just didn't have time to move the ball down the field because he was getting pressure straight up for the middle the whole entire game. Grady Jarrett was causing a lot of pressure. They were collapsing that pocket. Jimmy Garoppolo had to get rid of the ball quick, so that's why we saw so many Kittle dump offs. And honestly, this offense kind of struggled in the second half, but we could talk about this 49ers defense that struggled in the second half because, like I said, they blew a 19-10 lead in the fourth quarter. This is after they got a touchdown on a muff punt by the Falcons, set them up on a two-yard line. Kyle Juszczyk, two-yard touchdown, and that's an easy touchdown to give you that 19-10 lead. And I thought this game was over. I didn't think Matt Ryan and the Falcons were to come back two touchdowns and win this game, but that's exactly what they did. They drove down the field against this 49ers defense. Yeah, they looked beat up without Richard Sherman. They could not stop Julio Jones at all, and honestly, he was the X factor in this game. And yeah, I mean, against the Rams this weekend, it's going to be interesting. But yeah, I don't think anybody really saw this coming, Al. And the 49ers dropped from the number one seed back to the fifth seed after just reclaiming it just a week ago when the Seahawks lost. So where do we head to now, Al? I mean, they got a division game against the Rams this weekend. They are favored by 6.5 points. They're back at Levi Stadium. So this is going to be interesting because, like I said, Grady Jarrett busted up that offensive line all game long. Weston Richburg is hurt. He's now on the IR. So now the 49ers are now relying on their backup center, Ben Garland, and he's got to go against Aaron Darnold. Now, I know the 49er backup offensive linemen have been playing pretty well this year. Brunskill has been played pretty well. I mean, McGlinchey stepped up. Joe Staley with all of his injuries. I mean, this 49ers offensive line has held up well. But we're talking about Ben Garland, a guy that used to play defensive line. They just switched him over to offense. He's playing center now. Now he's got to go up against Aaron Donald. So I think the Rams defense could cause some problems for the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know, Al. This is a division game. 6.5 points. I like the 49ers to bounce back in this game, but I think the Rams might be able to cover the spread. But, Al, who the hell saw last week coming, and do you think the 49ers are going to bounce back?
Well, as someone who talks shit about the Niners for the most part of the season, I didn't even see it coming because we know the Falcons are one of the most terrible teams to bet on, except for the last few weeks, of course, because, of course, they just wanted to show up in the second half. But against the Niners at home, I did not see them covering this at all. But with that all being said, the fact that they covered was just fucking glorifying. Being in Reno, watching this game in the casino, watching all these dumbass, pathetic fucking fans. You should have heard these motherfuckers, Marcus. Towards the end of the game, first of all, we argued about the catch first with Hooper. Mm-hmm. I thought it was hitting his foot, but I didn't really say much because I didn't want to sound like that typical guy hating. So when it came to the Julio Jones review, you should have heard these dumb fucks, Marcus. This is how you know I can't fucking stand Niner fans. You got one dude over here. He's still in the air. There's no way that this should be a touchdown. You dumb fuck. It is crossing the plane. If the ball crossed the plane, then the fucking touchdown stands. And also, people I've seen on social media, the ball didn't even cross the plane. What fucking eyes do you have? What glasses are you using? What is it with you fucking Niner fans? You guys sounded like, at the suicidal stage, denial. That's what you guys sounded like. You guys were in denial. You didn't want to believe that it was a fucking touchdown and y'all lost. And what do you know? I see 2 seconds get put up on that clock before the call was even called. So I already knew it was going to be a touchdown. And as soon as the ref said it was a touchdown, I swear to you, Marcus, I seen souls leaving these motherfuckers' bodies at the casino. Because it went from talking all this shit, talking about all this fucking just stupid garbage shit, to completely quietness because y'all lost to the fucking Falcons at home. I didn't see it coming, dude. No one saw it coming. But it just shows how dumb you guys are when you say shit like this. And now you guys are back at the fifth seed. Yeah, we said, hey, you guys have 3 games left. You guys can get back to the first seed, which y'all did. It's not my fault that y'all couldn't keep it. So fuck you guys. You guys are pathetic. And you know what? I'm just going to leave it at that. And for this week, I'm going to take the fucking Niners. Because I don't think that the Rams can cover that. I think the Niners can play pissed off, bounce back, and probably win by more of the touchdown. We do see that Dee Ford's been limited to practice, so that could be a potential advantage for the Rams. But at the same time, the one person that the Rams are missing is Legatron. He's been also did not practice yesterday or today. So I think that could be a huge advantage because if no one can make their field goals, that's just more advantage for the Niners to cover that spread. And I think that the Niners are just going to win this easily too.
Yeah, the Niners did beat the Rams back in week 6, 20-7, but that was a game where Todd Gurley did not play, and Todd Gurley has been going lately. They've been giving him carries. He's been getting 20 carries the last couple games. Now, the Rams were hot until they ran into the Cowboys last week and lost 44-21. Got absolutely blown out. So the Rams, I think they still have, like the Raiders, like a small percentage chance of maybe making the playoffs, but they need some teams to lose. So it'll be interesting to see if the Rams just want to play spoiler because, like we said, the San Francisco 49ers, they went from the 1 seed to the 5 seed, back to the 1 seed, now back to the 5 seed. And honestly, it doesn't really matter because as long as the 49ers and Seahawks both win this week, it's going to come down to the Week 17 matchup regardless. Yep, exactly. So the only way that this game could really affect the 49ers is obviously if they lose. So the Rams could be playing with some motivation to be spoilers in this one. That's why I like them plus 6.5. Like I said, I think Aaron Donald's going to have a big game going against a backup center, Ben Garland. I don't know. This Rams defense has been playing well. I do like the 49ers to get the W, but that 6.5, especially if that spread moves up to 7, 7.5, I think the Rams are a great bet. But right now at 6.5, I think this is going to be a close game, and the 49ers will end up winning this game probably by a field goal, Al, because get this, the Rams have actually had the 49ers number in their last 5 to 6 matchups, but obviously the 49ers are a whole different team now, and the 49ers are 5-1 against the spread against teams with a winning record. So hell, the Rams, they're the first winning team that the Cowboys beat last week. We'll see if they could bounce back and keep it close with the 49ers. We're both taking them on the money line. Allen's taking the 49ers to cover that 6.5 point spread, while I think the Los Angeles Rams are going to keep it close. And then let's go ahead and move in to our Sunday slate. No, scratch that. It's the Saturday slate. Uh-oh. Because there were no Thursday night games this week. Yes, Thursday night football is finally fucking over. Thank God, Allen. But we got the Saturday special, and honestly, we just gave you a preview for the Saturday night special. I didn't even fucking talk about it. We got the fucking Saturday night boogie night fever over here. The Rams and the 49ers will be playing in primetime on Saturday night football. So let's go ahead and just skip Randy Moss saying straight cash. Hey, you can sneak it in there if you want to, Randy.
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah, that's right. We weren't going to let you go without Randy one time. Randy, it is time for the straight cash Saturday slate. And we talked about the Rams and the 49ers already. So let's go ahead and talk about the Texans and the Buccaneers. The Texans probably coming off one of their biggest wins of the season. They got the upset victory over the Titans 24-21, and if they win this weekend, they can win their division for the fourth time in 5 years, and I think they're going to do it against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that is extremely beat up. They did win last week against the Lions 38-17 to cover the spread, but honestly, Chris Godwin just got ruled out. We already know about Mike Evans. He got placed on the IR just a week ago. Jameis Winston with his hand beat up or not. I mean, honestly, yeah, I think this could be a high-scoring game because it seems like the Buccaneers are just scoring points on everybody. I've talked about hitting the over in the Buccaneers over and over and over again. It's at 50.5, so expected Texans to put up a lot of points on this defense, and the Buccaneers, they should be able to put up a decent amount of points even without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, but I easily think the Texans are going to win this game on the road, -3 points. Yeah, I think they win this game by a touchdown. I can see them winning by double digits, Al.
And all I got to say is thank God it is by 3, because honestly, I don't even think I could trust the Texans if it was more than 3, especially with the Bucs, who has just been fucking on fire on offense. Now, I don't know if it's because they're just playing trash teams or whatever, but with Jameis Winston throwing 458 fucking yards, dude, come on. I didn't see that coming at all. But you know what? That could be different because Chris Godwin is out. And as far as the Texans go, you got Will Fuller, who's questionable. He was limited to practice. DeAndre Hopkins is back at practice from an illness, apparently. So I think the Texans should be ready to go. So I do think that the Texans do win this on the road. And thank God, like I said before, that is by 3, because I think they can cover that easily.
Yeah, it's by 3 and it's on the road. And honestly, I couldn't care if this game was at home or on the road for the Texans. Now, they have struggled a little bit on the road, but nobody has struggled more at home than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 0-4-1 against the spread at home this year. And you want some more trends to go against the Buccaneers? On Saturdays, they are 2-12 since 1992.
Ew.
Yes, I don't even know there is that many fucking Saturday games since 1992.
For real, huh?
But the fucking Buccaneers are 2-12 when playing on Saturdays. So yeah, we're rolling with the Houston Texans to get the W and to win the AFC South, just like I predicted, to win over the Buccaneers -3 points. And let's go ahead and move on to probably one of our best games of the week, and this is really a division matchup. Probably it could decide who's going to be the division winner, as crazy as that seems, because we got the 10-4 Buffalo Bills going into New England to take on the 11-3 Patriots. Now, the Patriots right now are sitting in that number 2 seed. They got the W last week against the Bengals, 34-13. They had to cheat a little and spy on the sideline. We won't talk about
that. The damage is done, my friend.
And the first half was honestly kind of close, kind of sketchy. I believe the Bengals had the lead in the first quarter, but then the Patriots came back and just absolutely put a beating on the Bengals. I think it was like 34 unanswered points, whatever it was. They ended up winning 34-13, while the Buffalo Bills got a huge upset victory over Allen Steelers 17-10. The defense shut down Duck Hodges, and yeah, I think that's going to be the story again this weekend between the Bills and the Patriots. Both teams have already clinched a playoff seed, but the Bills can potentially upset the Patriots, and they can potentially win the AFC East. I'm pretty sure the Patriots have won the AFC East for like a decade straight, so that would be huge. Now, the Patriots and the Bills have already played this season. The Patriots handed them their first loss of the season back in Week 4, winning the game 16-10. Now, this is an interesting spread because, yeah, the Patriots won by 6 points. Of course, now it's at 6.5. The Bills did not play great in that game. Josh Allen had 3 interceptions, but he has been playing great as of lately, so I think it's going to be an interesting matchup, especially because the Patriots' offense has been struggling so much. I mean, they're the 25th ranked offense in the NFL. That just doesn't sound right with the New England Patriots.
Absolutely,
so something has got to change with Tom Brady, with Julian Edelman, and all these weapons out here. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a close game. So, defensively, the Patriots and the Bills are going to limit points. So, the under, even though it's set at 38.5, playing up in New England, who knows what the weather is going to be like. I think this could potentially go under because 4 of the last 5 matchups went under. I think the Bills are going to keep this close. But, I mean, shit, it's the Patriots, man. And I just can't believe that someone else is going to win the AFC East until I see it with my own eyes. I do like the Buffalo Bills plus the points here to keep it close here. But it's the fucking Patriots. I feel like they're going to find some way to cheat, do whatever they can to win this game by a field goal or less. So I think the Patriots on the money line is my pick. But I do like the Bills to cover that 6.5-point spread, Al.
I'm going to have to go with you as well. I think the Bills can cover the spread. You know, the Patriots, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but you know what? I'm not even going to fucking argue it because thank the fuck Christ that the Patriots are slowing down. And what better time to slow down than the year where they could potentially have the most rings in Super Bowl history? Because you know what? It already hurts me that we have to share this title, 6-ring title, with the Patriots. So for them to be kind of digressing at the wrong time, thank fucking Christ. And as far as the Bills go, they're fucking hot. I couldn't be really mad at that game. Duck Hodges didn't really do what he was supposed to do. He's the one that kind of fucked up with these throws at the end of the game. So I got to give my hat off to the Bills, especially Jadavious White getting picks, Mekhi High getting picks, Tremaine Edmonds being in every fucking tackle. I mean, they got future superstars on that team. So I can't be mad. That game was a good game until the end of the fourth quarter. So whatever. But moving on, I think that the Bills and Patriots is going to be a great game. I agree it's going to be 38.5, especially if it's going to be in Boston, because as far as the weather goes, I think it's going to be snow like a motherfucker. So I think that this is gonna be a close ass game. I think that the Bills could pull it off, but I don't think they could pull off the win. I think that they will definitely cover that 6.5 spread.
See, that's the thing. I'm right there with you, Al, because yeah, the Patriots are 5-0 straight up against the Bills the last 5 games. They won 5 straight, so I think obviously the Patriots can win. But get this, the Buffalo Bills, they have been great against the spread all season long. We've been betting on them. They're 5-1 against the spread against AFC East opponents, and 3-1-1 against the spread versus the Patriots their last 5 games as well. And get this, the Patriots, as good as they've been, as much as they've been winning, they haven't been the greatest team against the spread. They are 1-5 against the spread versus teams with a winning record. Like I said, the Buffalo Bills have a winning record. They're 10-4, got a potential to give the Patriots their 4th loss of the season. I would love to see an upset victory. That's why I'm taking the Bills plus 6.5. But if I'm putting my money line on it with my life on it, I got to take the Patriots to win this game. It should be a close one, but it should be a great one up in Foxborough for that AFC East division title.
I also want to say with the Bills, they could have a slight advantage because they do have Edelman, who's been limited in practice because of his shoulder and ankle. So also Jamie Collins Sr., who's been pretty much like a veteran defensive player for the Patriots, he's also limited on his shoulder. So if these guys aren't 100%, this could definitely hold a big advantage to that Bills defense.
Yeah, this Bills defense should be able to keep it close. I like them plus the points in this matchup, but let's go ahead and move on to our next game. We got the Saints and the Titans. The Titans have fell down after going on, what, like a 4-game winning streak. They lost last weekend to the Texans 24-21, just like we predicted here on the Straight Cash Podcast. Meanwhile, the New Orleans Saints absolutely blew out the Colts on Monday Night Football.
Breeze.
That was one of our easiest picks of the week as well. They beat the Colts 34-7, and Drew Brees just put on a passing clinic, and he passed Peyton Manning for the most touchdown passes all time in NFL history. The Saints now move up to the number 3 seed. They're still going to be trying to win because obviously they want to get up to that number 2 seed, get a playoff bye. We'll talk about the Packers playing a little bit against the Vikings. That game has huge playoff implications, but yeah, the Tennessee Titans and playoff implications. The Tennessee Titans need to win out now. They need the Steelers to lose. They need a little help. They're kind of like the Oakland Raiders situation where they need teams to lose and they need to win out. But yeah, against the Saints, I don't see it happening. The Saints are only favored by 2.5 going on the road now. I'm taking that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Is that exactly when they are playing on Sunday, our first Sunday game after getting through that triple header on Saturday? I like Drew Brees. I like the Saints. I like that 2.5 number, as well as the Titans have been playing. Yeah, they'll be at home. Derrick Henry had his 100-yard streak broken this past week, and the Saints have one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. I think they slow down Henry. You slow down Henry, that slows down Tannehill. I'm taking the Saints -2.5 in this game, Al.
I'm definitely taking the Saints. The only thing that really keeps me skeptical was the fact that we talked about this before. Drew Brees is not the same outside of a dome, especially if it's going to be cold. I don't know what the weather's like in Tennessee. But this is a 2.5 spread that the Saints are getting. And I think that this is an easy spread that they can cover because the Saints are just rolling regardless. I mean, based off of where Brees plays in stadiums, I don't think it's going to matter this week. I'm not going to let that judge my call. I think the Saints are going to take this. We got Von Bell that didn't participate in practice. I don't even think he's going to play this week. And you got Derrick Henry with a hamstring. He was limited, and Corey Davis was limited. So we got a couple injuries that could be an advantage to both teams. But you know what? In the words of that Instagram celebrity, Haha Davis, this finna be a breeze.
It should be a breeze for Drew Brees this week because everybody in the first half of the season was like, oh, the Saints defense is playing great, but the Saints offense has kind of slacked down a little bit. Now, we obviously have been talking about Michael Thomas. He's on pace. I think if he gets like 10, 11 catches this weekend, he's going to break the all-time catches in a single season record. I mean, 11 catches, that's just a normal day at the yard for Michael Thomas. And then this whole entire fucking Saints offense. I mean, what, the past 2 weeks, they put up, what, 45 or something like that on the 49ers? 34? They put up, what, 70 to 80 points these past 2 weeks? The Saints are hot right now, so you got to roll with the Saints -2.5. And let's go ahead and move on to our next game. We got the Jaguars taking on the Falcons, and this is probably my stay-away game of the week. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to do anything with it. We got the Falcons. They should be able to win this game. I mean, they've been hot the past couple weeks, but who knows what the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars and fucking middle finger Minshew over here. That's what I'm going to start calling him because he gave the middle finger a big fuck you to the Raider fans. And honestly, I can't even hate the guy too much. He gave a quote and said, I've never seen so many middle fingers in my life. I stared into the black hole and it was nothing but middle fingers. And he said he enjoyed pissing off Raider fans and getting the W. I mean, there was Jaguar fans that were like, yeah, we wanted to win this game because we didn't want to be on the ESPN Classics 20 years from now in the last game in Oakland and we ended up losing. So yeah, the Jaguars got to play, spoiler alert. I don't know if they'll do the same for the Falcons this week. And I mean, neither of these teams are making a playoff, so it doesn't really matter. 7.5. I don't like that spread. I think I'll go with the Jacksonville Jaguars plus the points, but I'll take the Falcons on the money line because get this, Atlanta is 0-7 against the spread in non-conference games. Whenever they play against a team from the AFC, it seems like they fuck up and choke somehow. They should be able to get the win, but I'll take the Jacksonville Jaguars plus 7.5 here, Al.
You know what? I didn't think the Falcons was going to cover at all, let alone win against the Niners. So I think that they could do both against the fucking Jaguars at home. You got the fucking Falcons who are coming off a huge win. Now, I don't think it really matters to them because, of course, they're not in playoff potential this season. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they took out the Niners at their home field with the Niners fucking talent that they've had this season, unbelievable. Also considering the fact that we've been in rehab on and off with the fucking Falcons. And when I mean we, I mainly mean Marcus, because I know that I haven't taken the Falcons as much as Marcus. But you know what? This week, I'm going straight with them. The only fucking thing I want to talk about that's a negative for the Falcons is the man, the myth, the legend, Younghoe Koo. He is limited in practice. I hope he stays in practice and starts playing because he's got so many fucking onside kicks. This guy is a history maker as far as kicking. And you got Chark also limited for the Jaguars. Now, I said that last week that could be an advantage for the Raiders. Clearly it wasn't. But I think that the Falcons at home can take the Jaguars, and I think that they could actually win more than a touchdown.
Yeah, the Falcons should be able to win playing like they've been playing the last couple weeks. Like you said, they're hot coming off their biggest win of the season. But you know what comes after a big win?
A big letdown.
A big letdown, exactly, yes. And that's exactly what I see the Falcons doing here. So, yeah, I'll take them on the money line, but I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars on the points while Allen thinks that they're going to win by more than 7.5. Then let's go ahead and move on to our next game. We got another division matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. And this one's interesting because the Baltimore Ravens, obviously last week, they clinched the AFC North. We all saw Thursday Night Football. Lamar Jackson absolutely put on a show against the Jets. They won 42-21. Lamar Jackson broke Michael Vick's season single rushing record. I mean, this guy is just a fucking animal. We talked about Michael Vick 2.0, the Madden fucking god, pretty much. Lamar Jackson, MVP, already lock it up. I mean, we don't even need to read the votes now. Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the season. But like I said, the spread is interesting because the Ravens are favored by 10 points. Obviously, they're the better fucking team. But the Browns did win this matchup back in week 4, 40-25. Yes, the Browns put up 40 points on his Ravens defense. Don't ask how they did it because I have no fucking idea. Now, the Browns are coming off a loss to the Cardinals 38-24. So if you let up 38 points to the Cardinals and Kyler Murray, you think they're going to let up a shit ton of points to Lamar Jackson in this Baltimore Ravens rushing offense. So yeah, 10 points in a division matchup against a team that already won in your house. The Browns should be the team to bet on here, but honestly, I think the Ravens are going to be playing pissed off. I think they're going to be playing for a little bit of revenge, and I think this might be the final effort from the Ravens, because if they lock this game up, they've pretty much locked up a bye in round one. So yeah, give them a win this week, lock up that first round bye, then you can rest Lamar Jackson against the Steelers if you really want to the next week after that. I think the Ravens blow out the Browns. I think they win by double digits. I could see this being, again, like I said last week, Lamar Jackson up by 2 touchdowns in the third quarter, and then we see Robert Griffin III come in for garbage duty in the fourth quarter.
You know how we felt about these double digit spreads, Marcus, all season? We said stay away from them. Well, I did that last week again. I took the Jets, and the Jets let me down hard. So I'm not going to make that same mistake. Ravens, I'm sorry for even doubting you, but I think that this is going be another blowout against the Browns. And the one reason why I think that is that the fact that Odell and Landry are fucking limited in practices. Landry's got a hip injury while Odell's got himself, I think, an ankle injury. And they also have Denzel Ward, who's also questionable. So if these guys aren't going to be 100% against probably the best defensive back system that we have seen this season, then I think I'm going to have to take the Ravens on that minus 10, especially with Lamar Jackson, the way he's fucking playing. And you know, I want to go back to that statement about him being a Madden god. Fuck that. Because Madden fucks him so badly when it comes to fumbles. You tackle him for a normal tackle, it's a fumble. So just that one little part I wanted to correct. But as far as this game, I think the Ravens are going to beat the living shit out of the Browns. Because you know what? We even said in the beginning of the season, the Browns are not who they are, okay? So fuck off for all you motherfuckers who thought the Browns were going to be that raw in one fucking season. Go back to you, Mark.
Hey, the Browns are who we thought they were. And that's who we thought they were the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 fucking years, Al, because in the last decade, the Cleveland Browns are the only franchise to not have a winning season.
Bitches.
Yes, as bad as the Raiders have been this past fucking decade, the past two decades, at least we've had a fucking winning season in there. We sprinkled one or two in there. We had an 8-8 season, a little Salt Bay action with a win. I mean, fucking A, the Browns are the doo-doo Browns. They're shit. They've been shit, and they're going to continue to be shit as the Baltimore Ravens should shit all over this weekend, and they should cover that 10-point spread. Like I said, Lamar Jackson's final breakout game. I mean, I thought it was funny. Talk about Madden and Michael Vick. Michael Vick was more mad about Lamar Jackson getting a higher speed rating in Madden than him than he was of him beating his actual rushing record. I thought that was hilarious. Vick was like, what's up, man? I thought I was the Madden god. No, Lamar Jackson's a Madden god, and Lamar Jackson is our MVP of the season, and we are taking him to win by double digits over the Cleveland Browns this weekend. And let's go ahead and move on to a game that doesn't matter at all. It's the Carolina Panthers taking on the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts lost on Monday Night Football against the Saints 34-7. It was an absolutely pathetic showing. They got eliminated from playoffs, but you want to talk about pathetic? Let's talk about the Panthers, because they are also eliminated from playoffs a couple weeks ago. Like we've been talking about, they fired Ron Rivera and haven't won a game since. They lost this past weekend to the Seahawks 30-20. That was a push. I mean, this was the fucking most garbage fucking push of all fucking time, Alan. The Seahawks had a fucking lead late, but we'll get to that when we get to the Seahawks. For this game, this is just fucking two teams that started off hot and two teams that honestly look like they could potentially be a wild card, maybe even a division winner. The Panthers were playing great. Christian McCaffrey was looking like an MVP candidate. Jacoby Brissett was looking like the best backup out of New England, looking like he should have been paid more than Jimmy Garoppolo for a few weeks, but that's now all come crashing back to reality as the Colts continue to lose, and lose. Their AFC playoff hopes are out the window. This game doesn't matter, and honestly, I'm taking Christian McCaffrey plus 7 points. I can't trust the Colts to fucking blow anybody out by more than a touchdown right now.
I gotta tell you right now, Marcus, two teams that we're talking about, I don't even want to talk about. Yeah. Because the fucking Panthers were down by like 20 fucking points last week, and I thought I was in the clear. I had a parlay for three teams. Patriots, Packers, Seahawks. Seahawks, you were doing your fucking jobs, and here comes the fucking Panthers to screw me by half a point. So fuck the Panthers. Now, as far as the Colts, the only person I got a problem with is the guy I've been praising. Motherfucking Brissett. Only 165 yards against the Saints. I thought this guy could do more. Didn't throw a pick, but he didn't throw a fucking touchdown. So fuck the Colts and fuck Brissett. I am so disappointed. I put my life on the line for you guys damn near, and you guys fuck me. But you know what? I'm going to have to take the Panthers. Shaq Thompson is absent with an ankle injury today, so let's see if that's going to be a big problem. I don't think it will be, because he's not the main linebacker Luke Kuechly is. But yeah, I think that Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Allen, I think that they can cover that 7-point spread, while I also will take the Colts to win. But that's just wishful thinking at this point, Mark.
I mean, honestly, yeah, the Colts are a decent home team, but Yeah, Christian McCaffrey plus a touchdown. I think he's going to keep him close. And honestly, I can see the Carolina Panthers getting the upset victory. So that's why I'm for sure betting on the Panthers plus the points this weekend. I'll probably roll with them on the money line while Al's rolling with the Colts. And we'll see what happens in a game that doesn't matter at all. But you want to talk about a game that doesn't matter at all? Let's talk about the shit Super Bowl of the season, the fucking Sacco Bowl, the fucking Joe Burrow Bowl. I mean, this used to be the tank for Tua Bowl, but not anymore because Tua's hurt. I mean, shit, he still could get drafted high. Who knows what's going to happen? And who knows if anybody's even going to show up to this game? It's the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Miami Dolphins down in Miami. Now, the luck ran out with Ryan Fitzmagic just a little bit. Lost last week to the Giants, 36-20. But, hey, shout out to Eli Manning. Got his final start of the year, whatever it was, and got back up to a 500 record. That's so Eli Manning. Back to 117-117. But, yeah, we'll get to him when we get to the Giants in a couple games. Let's talk about the Dolphins and Fitzmagic. They're pretty much in a pick'em game against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't think anybody can pick the Cincinnati Bengals right now. I mean, shit, they can't even get their number one wide receiver to pick their own team. AJ Green just straight up quit on them this fucking season. Doesn't want to play at all. He was supposed to come back after week 3, 4, 10, 14. Here we are week 16, and it doesn't look like AJ Green is going to play at all. And honestly, I don't want to watch this game at all, but I will take the Dolphins in a pick'em game because, yeah, there's no fucking spread. Vegas doesn't even know what's going to happen here. I'll take the Dolphins at home to win this game, Al.
Dolphins minus one.
All right, we got the Dolphins minus one in this one, and then we'll move on to our next game. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the New York Jets. Now, we mentioned it a little bit. The Bills were able to knock off the Steelers last week, 17-10. Duck Hodges had his probably worst day as a starter, threw four interceptions, and the Steelers' playoff chances dropped from 59% down to 45%, Al, and they are now sitting at sixth seed. They do have the tiebreaker over the Titans, so that does go in your favor, but the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have to win this week. They're only favored by three, playing against the New York fucking Jets, who just got blown out against the Ravens. I know the Jets will have a couple more days to get ready, but I think the Steelers are absolutely going to shut down the Jets and shut down Le'Veon Bell. Then people might say, oh, Le'Veon's going to have his revenge game. No, the Steelers are going to get his revenge against Le'Veon Bell. They're going to shut him down. I mean, Devin Bush might kill the man. TJ Watt might hit him with a fucking stone cold stunner. I mean, this could be ugly. This could get bloody. We could see someone pull Myles Garrett and hit Le'Veon Bell over the head with his own fucking helmet. I mean, things are going to get chippy, but I think the Steelers are going to shut down Le'Veon Bell, and they should be able to cover the spread of 3 points, Al.
Absolutely. You would think that, right? But as a Steeler fan, let me tell you, we always play shitty against shitty teams, regardless who's playing, whether we're injured or not. Even if, I mean, we're injured, and we're still out of winning season. We got 8-6 record, so I think the fact that we're still going to be playing the Jets, a shitty fucking team who apparently sees ghosts, I think that we probably will shit the bed to the point where it's going to be a tease. We're like, wow, what the fuck, we're really going to lose? And then we'll probably pull it off last minute. And as far as Le'Veon Bell goes, Marcus, I'm in one championship in fantasy, and I'm honestly thinking about benching him because that's how fucking bad I want him to do. And you know what? I see Le'Veon Bell talking about Twitter. I see Le'Veon Bell talking on Twitter about everything but football. You know why? Because this guy can't even rush for 100 fucking yards, let alone even get 100 yards receiving. Le'Veon, you're shit. You ain't fucking shit. You'll never be shit. You know why? Because you were a Steeler and you were raw, and you'd let us down for a few million dollars less. I said that last week, and I'll say it again. Go fuck yourself. You're going to be fucked this week, boy. And you know what? Juju limited to practice this week. You know what? I can't even say anything about that because he was supposed to be ready to go last week, and he re-fucked up his knee that Thursday. So I think it might be a little bit of a problem. I don't think it's going to be that much of a problem, even though Jamal Adams is supposed to have a very high chance of playing. And we got Vance McDonald, who is coming off a concussion. He's coming back this week, so I think that this is going to be a good advantage. But yeah, I'm going with the fucking Steelers. And I can't even be mad about my Steelers, dude. 8-6, sixth seed. Even if we don't make playoffs, I won't be mad because I was expecting a losing season, Mark. Mm-hmm. I was sitting here telling everybody, hey, I wouldn't mind a losing season. I've never seen a losing season in my life of fucking watching football. So I think it'd be pretty interesting to see the Steelers lose, you know, just to see, get a little something new going, you know, sprinkle a little losing. But no, we can't even do that because Tomlin has turned it around. Duck Hodges has turned it around. Mason Rudolph did what he could, but when he was starting, but obviously it wasn't good enough. James Conner coming back. He did decent last week. Had himself his touchdown coming back after a few weeks of his knee injury and shoulder injury. He looked really good, so I think he's going to put a big fucking mark on the Jets. And, yeah, I just think that this is going to be a Steeler win. I'm hoping it'll be a Steeler win because if we beat them, I think mostly likely we'll beat the Ravens because they're just going to sit everybody.
Yeah, that's what we talked about a little bit. If the Ravens get this win this week, they'll have the number one seed pretty much locked up. So Lamar Jackson won't even need to play that Week 17 matchup against the Steelers. And, yeah, the Steelers need to win out, like I said. The Titans are hot on their tail, and so are the Raiders. No, I'm just kidding. The Raiders aren't anywhere close. But the Pittsburgh Steelers should be able to win this game minus three if or if not Juju Smith-Schuster plays or not. Because what? Just a couple weeks ago, we took the Steelers to beat the Browns without Juju, without James Conner, without a bunch of people, because we've honestly been betting more on this defense all year long now. That did come back to bite us in the ass last week as the Pittsburgh's offense was able to put up any points, but the Bills' defense did. I think it's going to be the Steelers' defense shutting down Le'Veon Bell, like I said. And then flip side, you mentioned Jamal Adams, questionable. He could play. Quinnen Williams, a rookie, was out last week. He might be out again this week. I think the Steelers should be able to run down the throat of the Jets. They should be able to win this game and cover that spread, -3, to set them up for that number 6 seed in the playoffs. And then we'll go ahead and move on to our next game. We got the Giants taking on the Washington Redskins, another division matchup with no playoff implications, so it doesn't really matter what the hell happens. But the New York Giants are getting +2.5 points here after getting the victory over the Dolphins 36-20. Eli Manning got his swan song, got to go out as a fucking hero beating the Dolphins. I mean, what a perfect matchup for Eli Manning to make his last start, because Daniel Jones was back with the starters this week in practice, so he should be starting. But yeah, gotta give a shout out to Eli Manning. Like I said, the epitome of average quarterbacks, 117-117 his overall record. I mean, I thought he was only going to start one game this year, so I thought it would be funny. He loses on Monday night, and he loses to a sub-500 record. But no, now his whole career, he is just the epitome of the average quarterback. But hey, the average quarterback that beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl twice, so I always got to give some shout-out to Eli Manning. And I will shout-out the New York Giants for finally using fucking Saquon Barkley last week.
Yeah, huh,
I mean,
time.
It's about fucking time. I know he's been dealing with an ankle injury all fucking year, but I could have used him for my fucking fantasy playoff run, you fucking jabronis. But yeah, with Daniel Jones coming back, with Saquon finally get it going, I think he's going to end the year hot against this Washington Redskins team that's been up, they've been down, they had a chance to beat the Eagles and ended up losing by 10 points. I mean, you want to talk about a bad beat, the Eagles had a last second touchdown to cover the spread. I mean, this game's going to be ugly. The over-under set at 42. I think this could go under. 4 of the last 5 games have gone under in this matchup, and honestly, division matchup, you got to take your points. You might be better off waiting to see if the spread moves up to 3 points, but regardless, I think the Giants plus the points is the bet to make here. I like Danny Jones. I like Saquon Barkley. I like the Giants to continue this little 2-game winning streak. I can't bet on the Washington Redskins and Dwayne Haskins right now. I'll take Danny Dimes +2.5 points out.
Well, as Marcus says, you might want to wait to see if that spread changes. I'm taking the Redskins, so for those who's taking my pick, you might as well just put that bet in now, because you're not going to get it any better than less than a field goal, and I think that the Redskins can win this and cover that spread due to him being at home. And hell, I can even think that this will be like a game against the Bears, dude. I think that the Redskins could probably win a last-minute field goal just to win that game. Now, we have Adrian Peterson, who did not practice today with a toe injury, but y'all need to remember, this is Adrian Peterson. This is the maroon fucking messiah. This guy will play even if he has a broken fucking shoulder. And I think this guy will still play, and I think he's going to run all over the fucking Giants defense because their defense is trash, and I think it's going to be actually I honestly think it's going to be both ways. I think that Danny Dimes and Saquon Barkley, even Sterling Shepard and Slayton, I think that they all fucking have a game. I think this will go over too, unless the weather's going to be fucked, which could be a possibility, but if it's not, if it's going to be a beautiful day, I definitely think it would go over 42. And I'm taking the Redskins to win -2.5 and cover that 2.5 spread.
Allen going Oppo Taco on me, taking the Redskins and the over. I'm taking the Giants and the under in this game. I think it's going to be fucking ugly. And get this, they have been close games the last 5 matchups, but the Giants have come on top more often than not. They're 3-2 against the spread and 3-2 straight up in the last 5 matchups against the Redskins. So we'll have close. Danny Jones versus Dwayne Haskins to see who can finish the year on a high note. But let's go ahead and move on to... Did I ever use my stay away game of the week? I think I might have, but I think I want to bring it back for this game.
Well, it's Christmas. I'll give you one first gift.
Yeah, there we go. Give me my second gift of the year. I got 2 stay away games of the season. I do not want to watch this game. I don't want to bet on this game. It's the Detroit Lions taking on the Denver Broncos. And yeah, the Lions are getting +7 points. Kerryon Johnson's back. I think that might hype the crowd up a little bit. I don't fucking know, Al. I'm just going to say, hey, give me the Lions +7. Give me the Broncos on the money line. I don't fucking know. I'm staying away from this game. You have any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just going to take the Broncos. The only thing that I got to say about Broncos is that their tight end, Fant, he's limited due to a shoulder injury, and he's been pretty much like the second receiver that they have under Sutton. So I think that it could be a little bit of an issue for the Broncos, and the fact that the Lions quarterback, David Blow, is not coming anywhere up to standards, I think that he might blow this game. I think that Drew Lock will have a better game, and hell, if it's in the Mile High Club, this could be a problem with Detroit. But then again, Detroit plays in cold weather too. So, and you got Kerryon Johnson coming back for the Lions, but he probably is going to be splitting carries. I don't think they're going to use him to a full advantage. If they were, I'd probably take the Lions, but I got a feeling about the Broncos. I think that they can cover that 7.5 spread. I think they can win by a touchdown or more. And as far as that under, shit, I'm not even going to touch that.
I don't even want to touch this game at all, Al. Let's just go ahead and move on to our next game of the week. It's the Arizona Cardinals plus 9.5 against the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks will be hosting the Cardinals. And this one's interesting because they already played, obviously, division opponents, play each other twice a year. Seattle won the week 4 matchups 27-10 in Arizona. So you think, yeah, they should be able to blow them out by another 17 points. But who fucking knows with the Seattle Seahawks?
Fuck
I mean, they've been in so many close games all fucking year. And me and Alan talk about on his podcast, the numbers we give out are the midweek line. So if we give you some good value, hop on that line and go get it. Or if I said wait till that point spread moves a little bit, you should wait for it. And that's exactly what happened this past weekend with the Seattle Seahawks on our podcast midweek. We got them at 6 points, so it was a push. But by the time we got the Reno on Sunday, it was 6.5. So guess what? The fucking Seahawks blew it against the Panthers. I mean, it was like fucking 30-7, 30-13.
It was 30-15.
And then 30-15, and then 30-24, and all of a sudden, the fucking backdoor cover. Christian McCaffrey and the Panthers were able to get the job done and cover the spread against the Seahawks. Now, the Seahawks obviously getting the win. It does put them in the number one seed in the NFC, so they're going to have to keep on winning. So I think obviously they should win against the Cardinals. But that 9.5 does kind of scare me a little bit because the Cardinals, they are 3-1 against the spread. Their last 4 matchups against the Seahawks, they have been keeping games close, and they just put up 38 points on this Browns defense. And honestly, as good as the Seahawks are, their defense isn't great. Jadeveon Clowney is still questionable. He didn't play last week. He might not play this week. Russell Wilson is the reason why they're in every game and they're winning every game. I'm looking for Russell Wilson to lead a game-winning touchdown drive, but if he has to lead a game-winning touchdown drive, that means that this game is within double digits. I like the Arizona Cardinals plus 9.5 here, and that spread might keep going up. You might get 10.5 by the end of the week. Like we said, you might want to wait on this line, but I like the Arizona Cardinals to cover plus double digits, but I easily think that the Seattle Seahawks are going to win this game, Al.
First, I like to say, Seahawks, go fuck yourself, because I cannot believe y'all blew that fucking thing. Again, like I said before early in this podcast, I had a 3-team fucking parlay. Patriots, Packers, Seahawks. Packers did their jobs, barely. Patriots did their jobs, fully. Seahawks did their jobs, none. Go fuck yourself. That's twice in 2 Reno trips that I've been in that have got fucked over by a half a point, that goddamn hook. Go fuck yourself. And for that, not just for that, but the fact that this is a divisional game, I'm also taking the Cardinals at plus 9.5. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm taking the Seahawks to win, but the Cardinals at plus 9.5, this team is not the same as it was the last matchup. And you got Christian Kirk, who did not practice Wednesday due to an ankle injury. So if he plays, that's a lot better advantage for us. I think that the Cardinals can take this. Kyler Murray's been looking pretty good going down later on in the season. And also, you also got to remember, Bobby Wagner went down last week with an ankle injury, so that could be an advantage too. If he doesn't play up to his standards, then they could definitely take a full advantage. And let's talk about that motherfucker, Kenyon Drake. 4 fucking TDs last week. Who would have thought? If he does the same thing against this defense, then we'll see what happens. But I'm taking the Cardinals at plus 9.5.
Yeah, take the Cardinals plus 9.5. You mentioned Christian Kirk dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury, but I think he will suit up and play. But one wide receiver who will not be playing this weekend is Josh Gordon. Yes, he is suspended. The man is done again.
Too much drugs.
Josh Gordon just cannot stay out of fucking trouble. But even if he's not playing, I think that this is going to be a high-scoring game for both the Seahawks and the Cardinals. The over-under is set at 50.5, and honestly, I like it, and I like it a lot, especially if Alan mentioned, if Bobby Wagner's not playing, if Jadeveon Clowney's not playing, I think Kyler Murray is going to put up a lot of points. So yeah, look for the Cardinals to keep this one close, plus 9.5, but we're both taking the Seahawks on the money line because they're 4-1 straight up their last 5 matchups against the Cardinals. But like I said, the Cardinals have covered in 3 or 4 of those games. We like the Cardinals to cover here, but we do like the Seahawks to get the win and stay in control of the NFC West. And let's go ahead and move on to the NFC East, where this is the game for the division.
One.
We got the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. The spread is favoring the Dallas Cowboys -2 after they absolutely put a beatdown on the Rams last weekend, 44-21, which made history for the season, Al. The Dallas Cowboys finally beat a winning team. Yes, we're talking
They're 1-6.
Yes, we're talking about a team that is going to be hosting a playoff game potentially if they beat the Eagles, and they now just finally got their first win against a winning team all season long, and it came at a great time because yeah, the Eagles won as well last week. It wasn't pretty. They beat the Redskins, but now both teams are sitting at 7-7, and the winner of this game is most likely going to win the NFC East and host a playoff game. Like I said, now this is a rematch of their Week 7 matchup, And Dallas absolutely beat the Eagles down 37-10 back in week 7. And Ezekiel Elliott and his Dallas Cowboys offense rushed for 189 yards. And he's going to have to do the same thing this upcoming weekend because Dak Prescott is dealing with a shoulder injury. I think it's his AC joint in his shoulder. So he is actually questionable for this game. Now, I think he automatically has to play. I don't think there's any way he can sit out this game, especially with the fucking division on the line. So it's going to be interesting to see how they use Dak in his offense because the Eagles' defensive backfield is trash. They can get passed on all day long, but especially now with Dak and his shoulder injury, we don't know how effective this offense is going to be because, shit, look at the numbers. The Dallas Cowboys have the number one total yard offense in all the NFL. Makes no fucking sense, right?
Absolutely not.
They're not blowing anybody out, whatever, but Dak Prescott's throwing for like 400 yards a game now, and then you want to talk about their defense. They're ranked 7th overall as a defense. So what the fuck is going on with the Cowboys? I mean, we've talked about it all year long. It's the fucking coaching issues. Yep. Jason fucking Garrett. I mean, you can't have a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense, have a 1-6 record against winning teams, and now have a 7-7 record crawling into the playoffs. I don't know. Something's got to figure out for the Dallas Cowboys, and they got to figure out this weekend against the Eagles. Yeah, I don't know. The Eagles, historically, they've had a good rush defense. They're the number 3 ranked rush defense. But like I said, week 7, what the fuck happened? Because they ran for 189 yards. So if the Cowboys can even come close to replicating 189 yards, they get 150 yards, I think they're going to win this game. Now, they are on the road. It's in Philadelphia. -2, -2.5, whatever it is, as long as it's less than a field goal, I think I'm going to roll with the Dallas Cowboys here. I've thought they're the better team all season long, while the Eagles have been getting lucky. You saw these last-minute wins against the fucking Redskins and the Giants and a bunch of trash teams in the NFC East all season long. I picked the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC East to start the season, so I'm going to finish off the season with them winning against the Eagles to win the NFC East. I'll take the Dallas Cowboys -2.5 points here, Al.
Fuck, Mark, I can't do that, dude. If Dak has an AC sprain on his shoulder, now I don't know if it's his throwing shoulder or not, but just the fact that you have that type of injury and you're still going to be playing, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, how can you take the Cowboys? That guy is pretty much what is making your offense. Like you said, he's thrown for 400 yards almost every game, right? So if he can't even do half of that, then what makes you think that they're going to win this game? Because Zeke ain't even doing half of what he was fucking doing all season last season and the season before. Sure, he had one hell of a game last week, but how many games have we seen that this season? We haven't seen no more than, what, 3? And as far as the Eagles go, your guys are more healthy. You guys are at home. And I feel like that they're going to fucking play with more heart. They're not going to want to get their asses whooped like they did the last matchup against the Cowboys. So I think that the Eagles got way more to play for. Fuck the Cowboys anyway. And I got to say, on a little side note, to my sister, hey, don't be afraid to give me my niece, because I know it's probably hell in that fucking household due to the fact that you're a Cowboys fan and your man's an Eagles fan. So those motherfuckers are going at it. And as far as every fan is Eagles fan and Cowboys fans, oh, this is going to be fucking great. I expect fights on Instagram coming from the fucking videos. I expect fights on the field. I expect it to be one hell of a bloodbath. And as far as that bloodbath goes, I think the Eagles win that bloodbath at 2.5.
Hey, I don't know, Al. I think I'm disagreeing with you. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they're both playing for the same thing. You said the Eagles are playing for more. I mean, they're both playing for the NFC East title. And you talk about health. I mean, the Eagles, Lane Johnson's banged up. Alshon Jeffrey's been banged up. I mean, these guys don't have any fucking wide receivers who can catch the ball. I mean, Jordan Howard's still banged up. Miles Sanders has been playing great, and he's pretty much turning into a normal wide receiver. So Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz should be able to put up some points against the Dallas Cowboys defense. But yeah, like I said, they're a top 10 defense. They're number one offense. And the Dallas Cowboys are 4-0 versus the Eagles and 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 matchups played in Philadelphia. So I don't care with the Dallas Cowboys dealing with a couple injuries. It looks like Carson Wentz has been playing hurt all season long. I like Ezekiel Elliott and this rushing offense to get back on track.
Hey, that's a good point as far as the receivers. Yeah, they got receivers that can't catch, but if you got a fucking quarterback for Dallas that can't even throw on an injury, then what the fuck are their receivers even useful for in the first place?
True. Dump off, dump off, dump off. I'm looking for Dak.
Fuck that Jimmy Garoppolo shit.
I'm looking for Dak to dump off. Look at a couple of thinking dumps to Amari Cooper, gets a couple of wide receiver screens. I'm looking for Dak Prescott to finally use his fucking legs this week, because he used his legs a lot back at Mississippi State, but he hasn't been doing it too much in college. But now with a shoulder injury, obviously he's going to have to use his legs. They're going to have to get creative. Like I said, the Cowboys were able to run all over the Eagles last game for 189 yards. So if they can repeat that success, they should be able to get the victory -2 points. And one last trend for you, the favorite in this matchup is 7-1 in the last matchup. So Vegas has been pretty spot on. I'm rolling with the Dallas Cowboys, but Allen is rolling with the Philadelphia Eagles and the home underdogs to take home the NFC East. And let's go ahead and move on to Sunday Night Football as we get into our last primetime games of the week. We got the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Chicago Bears. The Chiefs absolutely put a beating on the Broncos last week, 23-3. They're having snowball fights before the game. They're having snow angels. I mean, Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs right now are rolling. They're 4-0 in their last four games. They're 4-0 against the spread. They're blowing out everybody, and they're looking for that number two seed in that AFC playoff picture. They want that bye week. They know that the Patriots do have a chance to lose this week against the Bills, so I think the Chiefs, it's going to be a repeat performance of last week. They beat the Broncos in the snow, a pretty good defense, blah, blah, blah. This week, they're playing the Chicago Bears, who lost to the Packers 21-13. They're officially eliminated for playoffs. They're a pretty good defense. It could be snowing. I think it's a repeat performance from last week. I think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs absolutely blow out the Chicago Bears. The spread has moved up from 4-5-6. As long as it's underneath a touchdown, I like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to get the job done on the road in Chicago. Out.
Abso-fucking-lutely, Marcus. And we got to talk about this real quick. That was some fucking pure snow we saw last week.
Yeah.
Nothing but snow. I saw no type of green on that field. And Patrick Mahomes looked like he was still throwing it as if he was in L.A. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if he could do that in the fucking snow, of course he's going to do that damn near anywhere. And against this Bears defense, yeah, we talk about the Bears defense, but they're not up to par the way we thought they were. Hell, Khalil Mack, I think he's been a lot more quiet than he has been the last few seasons that he's played.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
And I think that Patrick Mahomes can easily get away from that guy. You got Damian Williams, who's limited on a rib injury, but we'll see if that matters because they still have Shady McCoy, who can still get dump off, still do a little some shady shit. But Patrick motherfucking Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. That's all I'm going to see probably this game, and I think that's all we're all going to probably want this game if we're all going to take the Chiefs. So I think we're going to take the Chiefs away game at 6.
Yeah, take the Chiefs minus 6. Like I said, they're hot right now. They've won their last four games. 4-0 against the spread, while the Chicago Bears are 2-8 against the spread in their last 10 games. Yeah, so the Chicago Bears season is over. Khalil Mack, wasted season. And I just want to see the Bears lose again so we get a better draft pick.
Get it.
It's as simple as that. Let's go ahead and get a favor. Let's get a nice Christmas present from the Chiefs and knock up that draft order. We're taking the Chiefs minus 6 and on the money line to beat the Bears. And let's go ahead and get to our last game of the week. It's Monday Night Football. It's the Green Bay Packers versus the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, we got a ton of great division matchups this week, and the Green Bay Packers are getting 5.5 points to travel up to Minnesota. Now, Minnesota absolutely blew out the Chargers last week, 39-10, while the Packers got the victory, 21-13. I mean, I didn't even mention it. The Bears had a chance to fucking win that game, if not tie it.
Allen Robinson,
that last little fucking schoolyard backyard football play, the dude, if he would have pitched it to Allen Robinson, could have gotten to a touchdown. So that would have been a bad beat for sure. But the Packers were able to cover the spread against the Bears this past weekend, and now Aaron Rodgers is getting plus points against the Minnesota Vikings. You guys all know my favorite bet.
Merry Christmas.
Aaron Rodgers plus points, baby. Ho, ho, ho. And the Vikings might not have Dalvin Cook as well. You're telling me we got the Minnesota Vikings, Monday Night Football, no Dalvin Cook, and Kirk Cousins trying to lead this offense? Kirk Cousins in primetime football? I think he just got his first primetime football win a couple weeks ago against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Well, that's great. The Dallas Cowboys didn't beat anybody with a winning record all season, but this isn't Sunday Night Football. This is now Monday Night Football. And get this, Al. Kirk Cousins is 0-8 on Monday Night Football in his career.
You're fucking trash.
That's the worst record in NFL history. Primetime Monday Night Football, 0-8, and I'm getting Aaron Rodgers plus the points. I can stop talking now. Aaron Rodgers, give me that. He's still fighting for that number two seed in the NFC, playing for a playoff bye. I like Aaron Rodgers plus the points here, and I can even see him getting an upset victory.
This couldn't have been a greater Christmas gift as far as betting in parlays or in straight bets, whatever you guys do when you're fucking betting. Because the Packers at 5.5, what did Marcus, I mean, I'm going to give Marcus the credit, because what does he always say every time? Take Rodgers and the points. Hell, I agree, but I'm not going to take credit on saying that because it's this guy. So as far as that being said, I am taking the Packers plus 5.5. Now, he said it already, Dalvin Cook is unlikely to play, and even Alexander Mattison, he has a good chance to play with an ankle injury, but if it's not going to be any of them, it's going to be Mike Boone taking over, and I don't think that he's going to be taking off on the fucking Packers like that. He might have a good game, but Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones and Devonta Adams are going to have a way better game. And as far as I know, they're all healthy. I don't see any type of injury report on them. The only injury report that I can think of is that linebacker Martinez. I think he got out the game during the game against the Bears, but I don't even think that's going to be enough. I think Kirk Cousins shits the fucking bed. And you heard it from me before. If you've got Cousins at home or the Vikings at home, they might do their job. but this isn't no shitty fucking team. This is the fucking Packers. This is Aaron Rodgers, who's thrown 24, 25 touchdowns and two fucking picks, Marcus. This guy has not been talked about at all and still putting up elite fucking stats. It's just unbelievable to me. I think we're just too used to Aaron Rodgers doing what he's doing. So I'm just going to stop talking and take the Packers at +5.5.
Well, it's crazy. Yeah, we talk about Aaron Rodgers' numbers, and most people will say, like, the Packers offense hasn't even looked that great this year. I mean, they've gotten better passing to their running backs, I think you would say, but I think comparing their offenses from this year versus last year with Mike McCarthy, things haven't really changed too much. Now, there was a big hoopla about the system changing for Aaron Rodgers, so yeah, they've been winning a lot of close games. I think this is a perfect opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to get hot these next couple weeks heading into the playoffs, and you don't want to face a hot Aaron Rodgers playing at home in Lambeau Field, so we are taking the Packers on the road. Get that victory, +5.5 points. We're taking them against the spread. We're taking them on the money line. We like the Pack here to solidify a top spot in the NFC playoff picture and get the victory over the Vikings, +5.5 points. And that is every fucking game from the Christmas special right here on the Straight Cash Podcast. Yes, we give you 16 matchups. We give you our picks for the Raiders. We give you our picks for the 49ers. I'm taking the Raiders to win, upset, cover the spread. I like the 49ers to win, but I think it's going to be a close game. Allen's taking the 49ers to win. He's taking the Raiders to win. He's got a whole Bay Area celebration here.
Can't tell me I'm talking
Merry
shit.
Merry Christmas again. Like I said, happy holidays. Thank you for downloading, listening, subscribing as always. We're giving you nothing but winners week in and week out. We gave you our totals, 125 winners against the spread, 150 winners on the money line. We're giving you winners all week, all year, all season long. I mean, shit, I might start calling myself Santa Claus, Marcus Claus, whatever you want to call it. Moneyline Marcus is back, and we're giving nothing but winners out.
And all I got to say is, give me a fucking winning parlay on my birthday weekend, Mark, huh? The Big Al here turning the big 29, old as fuck, and I'm just trying to look for a fucking win because I got jacked off in Reno like a fucking two-buck hooker. So let's fucking go. Like Marcus said, I'm taking the fucking Raiders. I'm taking the Niners. So fuck all you peasants talking to me about I'm a Bay Area hater. Go fuck yourselves and fuck all those guys charging you for fucking picks because we giving you money. We're giving you free picks, and not only the free picks, they're free winning picks. So go fuck yourselves. Merry Christmas.
Merry fucking Christmas, and have a happy fucking new year from the Bay's Golden Days podcast and the Straight Cash NFL Pick'em podcast, picking nothing but winners and picking nothing but the Raiders and the Niners to get the job done, to have a festive holiday season. It's the Bay's Golden Days, baby. You know what it is. Sold it, sold it, sold it, sold it.
Stay gold, pony boy.